It doesn't get any better than that. When you think about it, the reason we're here tonight is to worship God. And I always tell my Wonder School, or my Wonder Church kids, that we worship God three ways. We worship God by praying, we worship God by singing, and we worship God by giving. And that was wonderful. And I don't know if I'm sure I was never the first one to say this. Pastor always says it, but this is the closest thing to heaven on earth. The church. God invented the church.
Right. Amen.
He invented the family. He invented the church. And I grew up thinking that a church was a building. You know, I was a Catholic. You would go by the Catholic church. You always crossed yourself. Jesus lived in that little box up in the back. Until I became before I became a Baptist, I found out that the church wasn't the building. We are the church. All those people who are saved, baptized, and are members, we are the church. And my message tonight, I haven't come up with a name of it yet. But maybe by the end of my message, we'll have a title for it. But if you would take your Bible and turn to Nehemiah. Yeah, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. I'm sorry, but I have to blow my nose. When I hear the choir sing, it always it chokes me up. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. If you would stand, please. Verse 6. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, dear God, we ask you tonight, Lord, to bless this time together, Father, that we can all be encouraged, strengthened, and blessed by you, and that you would be honored by all that we do here tonight, Father. We worship you, we thank you, and we pray and ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The last part of that verse, for the people had a mind to work. That means they made up their mind that they were going to work. And I was trying to think of a way that I could help all of us, myself included, to be able to strengthen our church. And I don't mean the walls. But I mean how we can strengthen and how we can encourage and build up one another, because we are the church.
Right.
And These people that Nehemiah and the workers that came from Babylon back to Israel, to the to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls, it says that the people had a mind to work. They were building these walls, and they were strengthening their defenses. You know, I've been here for a long time. Eric said it. I won't mention how long. I don't even remember already. But I must tell you that I do not take any credit for anything that I have ever done or accomplished here. And I believe it's all through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one who encourages me and tells me what to do. And I just want to praise God. I don't want any praise, and I appreciate someone saying you did a good job. I like to tell people that too. But I just praise God. I used to ask our son Eric, when he was just a little kid, I said, are you going to be a help or a hindrance? And he would always say, a hindrance. He only said that because he liked the way it sounded. And you can ask yourself that question. Do you want to be a help in our church, or do you want to be a hindrance? And, you know, we have the promise of God that Jesus is building this church. We're not building it. We're the workers. We're working for him, but he's building the church. We don't give the gospel to anybody unless Jesus saves that person. He's the one who does the miracle and changes a person's heart. But we are the ones that deliver the message. That's what we're supposed to do. And we're supposed to do a good work. And I want to give you some examples of people in my life, members of this church, who had a mind to work. And, you know, I see people in here, I remember when they were just little kids. And, but the first one that comes to my mind is Ben Bajewski. And we were downstairs cleaning Fellowship Hall. And Benjamin was sweeping the floor with that big broom. And I said, Benjamin, give me that broom. I want to sweep this, you know. And so he gave it to me. And then I looked over, and he was there like kind of, you know. You remember that, Benjamin? I said, what have I done? I have taken someone who had a mind to work, and I took it away from him. And so I gave him back the broom. I think I did. And he's been pushing that broom ever since and does a great job doing it because he has a mind to work. And far be it that I would want to hinder anybody from who has a mind to work. And another person, and I could name people here all night, but I'm just going to just name a few. But Elgin's is another one. He ripped through a wall 30 inches thick by 4 feet plus wide by 10 feet high. And not only had he a mind to work, but he had a mind to work. It looked like the entrance to a mine. But he had a mind to work. And I can't help but the whole Bajewski family and the whole Zukowski family, they work all the time. Every time I come to this building, they're here. And they have a mind to work. I don't remember the man's name. I remember what he looks like, and I know he was from Brazil. But he came to our church for several weeks. And he said, this cap this granite cap that's on the baptistry, it used to be wood, and it was twisted, and it was a mess. And he said, I can't stay at your church, but he said, I want to do something. And I came in a few days later, and that whole granite cap, and it is perfectly mitered, it's perfectly level, and it hasn't moved. In all the years it's been there. He had a mind to work, and he left his mark here. And it's just, you know, all these little things that may seem insignificant—a cap on our baptistry—but it all fits in together to strengthen the church. Because we are the church, and everything that we're doing, which is the commands that Jesus has given us, all depends on how every little part functions. And it needs to work. One part's broken, it may not stop the process, but it doesn't make it move as simply as it could. And I think of Sarge. Sarge cooks for us. We come in on Saturday mornings to go to our prayer time, the men's prayer time on Saturday morning. Sarge usually has something for us. He makes breakfast for us. He cooks, makes that dinner on New Year's Eve. He cleans the church. Shampoos the rugs, polishes the floor downstairs, strips it down, and polishes the floor. Could we go on without our floor being cleaned? And yeah, we could, but it certainly isn't a very good testimony. And and Diane. When Diane could, Diane vacuumed the entire building every week and dusted it every week. And Angela has formed a group of singers that I think is just, I can't imagine having a church service and not having a choir. And we didn't have one for years. It's a three-part message. Point number one. Someday I'm going to have my messages up on the, I do. How did that happen? I didn't even realize it. Okay. All right. All right, so but my points aren't up there. All right, so you got to remember this, all right? So point number one is, I remember Bob Priest, the message, you got to show up, you got to work hard, you got to live right. And I don't know if I remember the last one, but God takes care of everything else. That's the way it works for me. If I show up and I work hard and I live right, God takes care of everything else. I don't have to worry about anything else. God takes care of it. When you put God first, you don't have to worry about a job. You don't have to worry about your job security. You don't have to worry about where the next job is going to come from. Like in my case, I never know. I don't advertise. I've never advertised. Oh, I did once. I did once. That's how I met Cynthia. But God always provides work for me. I can't explain God's goodness. But so you need your work, your effort. It has to cost you something. David said, I will not give to my Lord something or anything that will that cost me nothing. I forget the man's name that wanted to give him everything he needed to sacrifice to the Lord. He said, no, I'm going to buy it. I'll pay for it. I don't want to give anything to God that cost me nothing. We always had work days. I'm talking 20, 30 years ago. We always had work days. It was a big deal. And we had a lot of work to do in those days. And I mean physical work to do on the building. And we would concentrate all of our labor on some specific items to get them done. We had a work day recently, which we accomplished a great deal. but we had more of them back then. And I remember one work day, there was a young guy coming to church, and he brought his father with him, and his father said, are coming to church. And we said, we're going to have a work day. He said, well, I'll come. So we all met downstairs, I think it was 8 o'clock in the morning. And he came in, and he said, where's the coffee? And I said, there isn't any. And he said, well, what time is the break? I said, we didn't start working yet. And he wanted to know when the break was. I said, we don't got to have a break. This is a work day, not a break day. He didn't have a mind to work. And there's a big difference. We have to show up. We have to be there. If we don't show up, nothing is going to happen. We need to show up at church. We need to show up for soul winning. We need to show up for the guys on Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, the prayer time that we have. Listen, we don't need to have an all-day work day. An all-church work day to get things done. You can start your own work day. If you can't be here on a Saturday, come whenever you can come and do whatever needs to be done. There's no excuse for taking part in building your church. Number two, we need to be consistent. You need to keep on keeping on. You know, a light bulb, well, not an LED bulb, but the old-fashioned light bulbs, when they would burn out, before they would burn out, they would get very bright. You ever seen that happen? A light bulb gets very bright. That filament gets very bright. And you say, whoa, that lasts a long time. You come back and it's gone. It's out. It burned out. Some people are like that. They get all excited. They want to do all these things. And work day comes around, and they're not there. They burned out. They're like the light bulb. We need people that are LEDs. You know, they're good for 25 years. They don't burn out. Or so they say. I'm going to give you a tip that I found that works, and that is that you need to have a schedule. If you do not have a schedule, you will never accomplish anything. And by the way, I have to correct you, Eric. I'm not a township supervisor anymore, so I don't. That's one thing that I don't have to do. But I did all those things. And most of them I'm still doing. I've been on a planning commission for 50 years. The only way I can do these things is if I have a schedule. And I know when everything has to be done, what the deadlines are, and what I have to accomplish. You need a schedule. And it's not so much of what you have scheduled to do as it is of what you have scheduled not to do. Because you've got to make a decision. You know, I've been self-employed for 48 years, I think. 1977 is when I went on my own. So I'm my own boss. And when you are your own boss, that means you make the rules. And you got to keep the rules, because if you don't keep the rules, you're not going to be the boss. And but I have a schedule. When I started soul winning, I used to, back in the days when people had landlines, and I used to go through the telephone book, and I would call people every day to get someone to pray to the Lord. And I would open a telephone book, go to letter E, and start going down making all these phone calls. And I knew that I could reach people at a certain time of the day. I don't remember what it was offhand. But I did that for 19 years. And I knew exactly the right time. And I knew I could talk to certain age groups at certain times. I found that out. If I called at, let's say, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I got someone who was younger. If I called at 8 o'clock at night, I spoke to someone who was older. And but the point is that I had a schedule, and I knew when I had to do things, and I did them. When you have if you have a schedule, you'll always be in church, because it's on your schedule. And if you are faithful to your schedule, then you'll be here, and you'll get done what needs to be done. You need to be consistent. I can tell you, there's many times I don't feel like going to church. I may feel tired. Thankfully, I'm not sick. At least I don't think so. But I have no excuse. And I feel that if I'm going to worship God, I need to be here. And I remember driving in snowstorms in the winter, coming down to church. Used to be, at one time, I was probably the furthest away. I don't know if that's true anymore, but we had long ways to go. So we need to be consistent. We need to keep on. And number three, don't leave until the job is done. Abraham Lincoln said, you can satisfy some of the people some at a time, and you can satisfy all of the people some at a time, but you can't satisfy all of the people all of the time. You're not going to make everybody happy. You might as well understand that, because we're all different. But here's the difference. The difference is that if you have the Holy Spirit, it doesn't make any difference what anybody says or what anybody does, because great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. You know, I remember preaching, what will it take to offend you? You know, what does somebody have to say to you that you'll be offended? Don't be discouraged. When the Hebrews were, the Jewish people were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, Tobias and Sanballat and a whole bunch of others were trying to discourage them. They were trying to humiliate them. They did everything they could to discourage them, but they weren't discouraged. And they built the walls. They built the walls with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. People have a tendency to start something and not finish it. I can see it driving down the street. Somebody started a project, they started planting something, and there's the shovel, and there's the pick, and there's the there's the bush in the pot, and it's like that all summer. They don't finish what they started to do. We have to make sure that we don't leave until the job is done. People will always try to discourage you. It may be in your own family. It could be innumerable examples. But people will try to discourage you, and you need not to be discouraged. You need to be like glue. This is super glue. I had it in my pocket. I just remembered. I had it in my pocket because I ran out of super glue. and I have to get some. But super glue, I just read about a guy who somehow got super glue on his lips, and his lips were glued together. Wow. But we need to be like glue. We need to stick to it. We need to stick to your seat. But we need to stick to a job that we start. If we make a commitment to do something, we need to follow through and do it. God wants us to be consistent. We can't be successful at anything unless we are consistent. So we need that glue. And the super glue, the real super glue, is Jesus. He's the one that keeps us all together. Like I said before, he's the one who invented the church. Don't be distracted. So many people are distracted by the cares of the world. Well, I have to do this, or this came out, and I have to do that, and this broke, and I have to get it fixed, and I have... No, you don't. If you put God first, all these other little things will all be taken care of. And I don't mean miraculously, but they'll all get done. They always do. You need to put the most important thing first. What will it take for you to stick with it? To whatever commitment you've made, to God, to the church. Over the years, I've been insulted, I've been interrupted, I've been assaulted, but I never gave up. And I truly believe that that's one of my most favorite verses in the whole Bible, is great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing will offend them. It takes a lot to offend me. Our purpose is to serve God. We're not doing this for the pastor. You're not doing it for a deacon. You're doing it for God. That's why we're here. That's who we're serving. And we have to do it together. Jesus wants us to do this together. When we get to heaven, we're going to be together. We're not going to be all separate. We're not going to be all individual, living in one place and serving God individually. It's going to be all together. That little bit of a choir that you heard tonight, that beautiful song, that hymn that they sang tonight, is only a minute fraction of what it will be like in heaven, when there's millions singing together. I can't imagine what it will sound like. And if you can't physically do what do physical work in the church, I realize you may not be able to do that. But what you can do is you can pray for those who are working. Because prayer is work. It's hard work. And so there's no excuse. Nobody has an excuse to not work. Cynthia said to me, what's the name of your message? And I said, well, it's about work. She said, you already preached on that. It all comes down to work. You've got to put your faith to work. We don't get to heaven by how good, you know, all the works that we do, but this is what we need to do to strengthen our church, that it would go on. I remember going to pastor school, and they sang a song, and I was trying to remember it, but the ending of it was, "And the church goes on." The church isn't going to end. At least this church isn't going to end if all of us do what we're supposed to do. And it'll only get larger. It'll only get bigger. We're a growing church. I see churches all the time closing their doors. The main purpose is they're not soul winning. Or they're not preaching a gospel. They're not preaching the right gospel. Try to be a fountain and not a furnace. You know, a fountain, you just think of fresh water. It refreshes. It nourishes. But a furnace just burns things up. And that's what some people do, is they just try to burn everything up, destroy it. Criticize it. Work, for the night is coming. Jesus said that. Work, for the night is coming. That means we're running out of day. Right. And the older you get, the less time you have before that night is coming. But I can tell you this, it comes so fast you will wonder, where in the world my life went? Where did all the years go? So you've got to make a decision. Are you going to just keep doing what you're doing? Are you just going to get by? Or are you going to grow? Are you going to grow spiritually? Are you going to work at it? Are you going to develop a schedule? Are you going to serve God with your whole soul, mind, and spirit? You have to ask yourself that question. Where am I going to be 5 years from now? What am I going to be doing in this church 5 years from now? I hope I'm here 5 years from now. But ask yourself that question. For the people had a mind to work. That's all God's asking you, is to have a mind to work. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, dear God, you've shown us everything. You've given us a Bible. You've given us the instruction book of life. We have no excuse. You've given us eternal.